listening to Is Good on killradio.org. This is the Henry Clay People. And we're back on Is Good on killradio.org. My guests are the Henry Clay People. Hello, Henry Clay People.
Hello, world.
Thanks for trekking over the hill to make it here for a lovely edition of Is Good on killradio.org.
No problem.
Why don't we just start off with introductions. Who are you and what do you bring to the Henry Clay People?
I am Andy. I bring good looks, I'd say. And guitar, too.
And I'm Joey. I'm Andy's older brother. And I play guitar and sing.
So how many people are in the band?
There's four. The other guys, Noah plays bass. He's not here. He's working. And Eric's also working. But neither of us have jobs that
I'm
are like...
I'm still in school, so it doesn't matter to me.
Yeah, I don't have one of those job type thingies either, so I totally know.
I do. I just I call in sick a lot.
Awesome. So did this band start as a sort of like, you know, two brothers making noise to annoy their parents, and it became a band, or?
Not so much. I pretty much, the band started out of like the ashes of like other bands that I've been in, with the same guys, mm-hmm. or with our drummer specifically. And then, you know, I taught this guy everything he knows, taught him how to play guitar. Gave him a guitar for Christmas, you know?
Is that true? Is that, Andy, is that where you got your first guitar?
In sixth grade, he gave me as his squire when I was in sixth grade. So, it's a good Christmas.
What do you have today? What are you playing? What guitar is that?
I bought him that guitar too, actually.
Oh, yeah.
I bought it from him. I mean, there was a big trade.
There's a transaction involved.
He's addicted to Craigslist, so he's always finding new deals. And so he found this one. And
that was a pretty sweet new deal.
That was a good deal.
Yeah.
So when did you sort of reform from the ashes and become the Henry Clay People?
Well, we were a band called Vallejo by Knife. It was basically the Henry Clay People. It was me, Andy, our drummer, and we used to live up in Santa Barbara, or I used to live in Santa Barbara, and we'd play like house parties, and we'd wear like fake mustaches and leisure suits, and we'd just like, you know, go crazy on stage.
Nice.
But it was more of just kind of like a novelty kind of spectacle. Then we decided, hey, let's change our band name. And so we had a CD coming out. We changed the band name to the Henry Clay People, which is pretty much a lame name, I think.
Whatever.
I like it.
All right, thank you.
Sometimes a name change is all it takes, though, to kind of, you know, get you guys more enthusiastic about the music.
We threw away the mustaches and the leisure suits. Actually, we still have them in a closet. They're waiting to come out. Yeah, and then from then on, so that was about 4 years ago.
Three or 4 years ago, and then the other two guys left onto greener pastures, and then Noah came along.
But it's been the same drummer.
Noah came along about two years ago now. So yeah,
same drummer actually I've played with him since eighth grade.
Wow.
Yeah, we go back.
Well, listen, let's jump into a live song, and then we'll get into the
Jesus,
the grits of all this. What do you want to play for us first?
We're not really terribly prepared.
That's how I like it.
All right. Indie till the end, right, little brother?
You guys know what you're going to play next, or are you going to find out halfway through the song?
All right. Disclaimer number one. This is the first of many. I lost my voice last week, so I can't hit the high notes. So let's do a song, actually.
All right. Whenever you're ready. My guests are the Henry Clay People. You're listening to Is Good.
We caught you standing in the back with your sister. We caught you sucking down lemonade. All your friends said you would marry your mother. All your friends, they said. Well, this didn't seem to be a problem I could see. We caught you crying in the corner. Yeah, you were drunk on cheap champagne. Well, you were shaming the name of your father. All your friends were there, but they fell asleep to some old guy giving a speech. Oh, but we tuned it all out because we knew it wasn't something worth fussing about. No time, no reason. An invitation to some well-lit location. I was there at the beginning. I'm always there when you need me to be. And I hope, my friend, that you'll be there for me. Thank you. but all your friends were scared they would never see you again. Oh, but the cleverest of men told me this was the end. And so he sold me his book and he autographed it. He said, don't be afraid if the fun has to end. He said, don't be afraid if the fun has to end. Don't be afraid if the fun has to end. He said, don't be afraid if the fun has to end. He said, don't be afraid if the fun has to end. Oh, he said, don't be afraid if the fun. And if the backlash felt like a comeback, we'll keep on singing about those glory days. To the people who drink all the cheap beer and walk the dogs even if it rains. I was there at the beginning. I'm always there when you need me to be. And if the backlash felt like a comeback, then we will be coming back again. And we won't be afraid if the fun ever has to end.
Done. Typical indie rock modesty. You guys are playing that whole song like, we suck, but the song was great. You guys messed up? Is that?
We're just not really rehearsed.
It sounded good to me.
You're very kind.
I don't have trained ears, but
I'm a wuss though too. So
yeah, he's supposed to sing the song. He's just like
whatever.
So let's talk about the writing process a little bit. Like, who is there? One person who brings in the material, and then the rest of the band kind of collaborates on it, or how's that work?
For the most part,
yes, that's me. That's me.
I'm gonna punch you in the face.
I'd say Eric brings a lot to the table. So
yeah, our drummer writes all the songs. No, I'm just kidding. No, I write most of the songs. Our bass player has a couple that he brings in every once in a while.
But how much of it is like a collaborative process, and how much of it is sort of, you know, you and your band, the Henry Clay people?
Like, Andy plays guitar in a very weird way. And so, like, I could bring whatever song and he'll play it in his own kind of, like, mildly autistic way.
Andy, do you sort of understand your brother's way of songwriting so you know what kind of guitar to play off the top?
Well, the way his teaching way is just hand motions. Like, he'll do something, and like, he does the same thing to our drummer.
This doesn't really translate well on radio, by the way.
Yeah, so I'm waving my hands in the air, and that's how Joey teaches songs. He says, you know, let's play drums like this, or play, you know, have a little of this going. Mm-hmm. I don't know what I'm saying. Just, you can go ahead.
Andy also is a notorious mumbler.
So what usually comes first? Is it the lyrics or the song?
Yeah, I'm really bad with lyrics. I usually like hold off on that till very end. Like, often it's the day before we're recording, I like get the lyrics cemented in.
So you have like a whole song ready, but it just doesn't have any words. You know where the words will go.
Verse, chorus, but that's why I'm really bad at writing like a hook, because I feel like, you know, a lot of people that can write good hooks, they have the hook in their head and they write the song around the hook, but I never know how to do that. So it's mainly just like chords that I think sound good playing together.
Is that how things usually come to you? Just sort of you're playing around and then, no, that's a good chord, I should work on that one?
Yeah, pretty much. And it's just like, wow, this is an amazing chord. E major. But seriously, that's kind of how it is.
And then how long does it usually take, like, the Henry Clay people to go from, like, you bringing in a song, just the instrumentals, to it actually being, like, finished? Do you guys usually take a long time with each song, or do you knock them out one at a time?
We're very prolific.
Yeah.
And then, I mean, usually we actually try to play a lot of shows. We try to play them live, because that's the best way to kind of break a song in. And we've been kind of known to break songs in a little prematurely.
So before the song is ready to be revealed, you're going to...
We'll practice one song, like, during, you know, one day, and then that night, if we have a show, we'll play it that night.
Yeah, actually, we did this CD called Live from Little Tokyo, and it's basically, the idea is you get... there's like five bands. It's curated by this guy, Mike Horwin. He gets five bands. They go into this studio, and they each have like a couple hours to like knock out like you know, a handful of songs. And so we were like, oh, scratching our heads. What's our song? What song are we going to do? And we couldn't figure it out. And so that we wrote in the last, like, 25 minutes of our practice, like, just this punk rock kind of song. Mm-hmm. And seriously, it was, like,
we were trying to play it fast enough to get it under a minute. But I think it's a minute 13, I think.
No, it's a minute 6. Oh, yeah, it's a minute 13 because we did the stupid ending at the end.
Did it start out as a folk song and it became a punk song just for time reasons?
Well, actually, that song that we just played was a version of it. That,
oh, yeah.
Obviously, that wasn't a minute. it went from, like, this punk rock song to, like, an epic. An epic for us is over 4 minutes, so...
Now, this sort of general term, indie rock, like it's lost a lot of meaning over the past couple of years.
Yes.
But you guys are an indie rock band, but how do you describe your music in terms of genres and styles, or what are the things you guys really resonate with?
I don't know. We grew up listening to a heavy dose of like classic rock, not like the Pink Floyd druggy classic rock. But
no, there was
like
a serious classic rock influence in that last song you just played. You could totally hear it.
Yeah. And so I think, you know, we're coming back to that. There was a while where we're like, yeah, indie band. We're an indie band, whatever that means.
But right.
Then, you know, I think that there are certain bands. We grew up listening to The Who. My dad had this one tape. Well, he has Who's Next on tape, and that was pretty much the only other tape that he had besides, like, Phantom of the Opera. And so between Phantom of the Opera and Who's Next, I think we took Who's Next on, like, every trip that our family took. And so, you know.
So you'd rather be sort of just like a rock band as opposed to carrying that stigma of indie.
Yeah, well, I mean, like, the thing that I like about the indie rock that I like, or the classic rock that I like, isn't so much of the, like, fancy schmancy, you know, makeup and leather pants. It's not that flashy. But you look at a band like Creedence, who are just like four dudes, two brothers, right? Yes. Who can just play rock and roll and not be flashy, but they just, like, or just kind of
just good at what they do, yeah.
Rock and roll band. And I feel like, you know, Creedence has like that ethic, or they have the look of like an indie band, and they're rock stars.
So yeah.
That's something to aspire to. So I wish that more rock stars today would be less flashy and more.
Yeah, let me make a note of that. Less leather pants, more good music.
Yeah.
Let's listen to another track from the CD you brought in. And you were telling me that these are rough mixes of your new album?
These are Dave, that guy who recorded them, Dave Newton. He's actually, I think, in the process of doing the final mixes right now. But these ones are brand new rough mixes. We just recorded it in November, I think. We recorded it at The Ship in Eagle Rock, and then at his studio. And then.
So none of this music's actually available yet?
No.
This is the only... Other than on a little mix CD, like two of the songs made it on the mix CD at the Christmas party we played. But other than that, this is exclusive stuff here.
An exclusive Kill Radio listen.
So
let's do it.
Maybe play track 3, actually.
All right. Yeah. You're listening to Is Good on killradio.org. My guests are the Henry Clay people. Stick around.
We got caught in between. Oh, there were fascist kids. They had safety pins. And I knew that we had to leave. You got sick of this scene. Oh, you said rock and roll lost its teeth. We'll be right back.
the best friends and all those casual acquaintances. And everything that I ever came from them. We moved around, we were afraid to be found. Keep your eyes peeled out for me. Don't you swear!
And we're back on Is Good on killradio.org, hanging out with the Henry Clay people. And we're just talking about this this CD, which is not available quite yet. But you guys have an ETA on when it's going to be out there?
I wish.
I don't know. Well, yeah, we're trying to figure out if we're going to do an EP or a full length right now.
We have a CD release show booked in February at the Echo. Other than that, though.
And you're just going to get up there with a CD and release it like a dove onto the audience.
Pretty much. Starts to fly away.
Yeah.
But we still have, we're still waiting on the mixes and.
You guys have other you guys have other material out there, like if people wanted to buy Henry Clay people music?
Yeah, we have our old record. We have two old records. One sucks and I don't recommend anybody bother.
Quite the salesman.
but the other one sucks less.
So buy the one that sucks less.
Yeah, buy
buy two copies of it to make up for the one you didn't buy.
That's good. That's a good idea, actually.
You guys obviously love playing live, and but recording is a part of being a musician as well. I mean, do you prefer playing live to being in the studio? It sounds like it's kind of a daunting process for you guys putting together an album.
Well, we tried. I mean, we tried to make on this last album like a fun live short recording experience to keep it fun and fresh, because we've been in the situation where it's been like a really long dragged out process.
So you want to like capture that live energy in
plus,
a recorded
track. We're a live band pretty much. I mean, that's no, actually we're dead.
no, but you see yourselves more as live performers than recording artists.
Yeah. And so we were like, let's try to get as close to possible. So we got us all playing in a room together, for the main tracks. And, you know, it's kind of sad, but a lot of bands just don't do that anymore. Like, they're all about, all right, you don't do drums first. And that's cool, but...
Well, they get obsessed with making it, you know, each track perfect. And
but with us, you are guaranteed to have several sloppy mistakes, but it's part of who we are. So we kept it, I think we did it all in 3 days. So, no, 4 days. Yeah. There was one day where we sat around talking pretty much all day. So I'm going to say 4 days.
Well, the whole record in 4 days, yeah.
But you need to have that day where, you know, that day of rest. Otherwise, you know.
Well, actually, you know, that considered, the first couple of days we took a while to get started too. So if it would have been on like, you know, a major studio's dime, it probably would have been 2 days worth of recording. But we slacked off a bit.
You guys ready for another live song?
Sure. What song are we doing, little brother? Gold Rush? Can you do that one?
Well, we don't know what's going to be the next song up there, so just it might be the next song up there.
Whatever.
I don't care. Whatever.
Go for
do
it.
Do what you want.
One, whenever you're ready.
1, 2, 3, 4. Oh, we were suckers for Saturdays. If there's gold, like I'm told, in the hills, far away. Then we'll
find the summer yet. Oh, but the kingdom was counterfeit, and they killed all of the card shark kids with sticks. We were scared, 'cause we were underdressed, and we never, never cared. Maybe we did, maybe we did. Somewhere on the Golden Coast, there was a bucket full of unclaimed souls. They grew their hair out to remind them of something, or some time, or some place. Oh, we were certain to be gone in 15 minutes or half as long. Some deadpan song, 'cause it is, and it's always been, and it will always be the next best option to pretty much just about anything. Oh yes, we were scared, and there was no use in hiding it, and we never, never cared. Maybe we did, maybe we did. Somewhere on the Golden Coast, there was a mountain full of wasted souls. They grew their hair out to remind them of something, or some time, or some place. Well, your mother and your father gave us these faces no one can remember. Oh, we were trying just to stick together. Oh, we were trying to stick together. Yes, we were. Their money and they piss it in the stream, or the river, or the lake, or the ocean, or the reservoir. Oh yes, we grew our hair out to remind us of something, or some time, or some place.
You're listening to Is Good on killradio.org. My guests are the Henry Clay people. What was so funny this time?
I don't know. It was a brotherly exchange of looks.
Is that a big part of the live performance? I mean, you guys must be able to communicate maybe better than, let's say, two random bandmates.
Yeah.
And you have to do that in a live show.
For better or worse. Yeah, sometimes he sings a song now that's like Andy's new thing. He has this one song that he sings like lead vocals on. He gives me this look like right before he's about to sing sometimes, where he's like, sing with me, And so at that point I noticed singing in the microphone. So last time actually we had a show earlier this week where I assumed that he would give me that look, so I started singing anyways. Then he pushes me.
Because he didn't want you to sing. Yeah. He was prepared this time.
The training wheels came off.
He came up and he was sharing the mic with me, and he's been sick, and he's like, screaming his bad breath in my face, and that's why I pushed you away. Oh. And he coughed right there. So.
Yeah, I thought it was that he thought his training wheels were off, and he was like, okay to sing now.
Do you guys use that communication to help each other too? Like if someone is sort of, you know, in the wrong key or on the wrong tempo, man. You gotta toss a look, say, dude, you're fucking up, like catch up or whatever.
Yeah, actually, we just full out say it. I mean, the communication's there without me having to say it. But we played a show, and Andy's guitar was actually the last show, the first song. He kept on like wailing on like an out of tune string.
I know. I knew it was out of tune. I stopped playing that.
Oh yeah, so in punk rock, oh, I'm no, playing out of tune. Shut up. You shut up.
Okay, so let me ask you. I was listening to the lyrics of this last song, and it's like there's a lot of storytelling going on. It's kind of it's cool. It's it's kind of abstract. Also, I mean, how do you see in terms of like the lyrical content of the Henry Clay people? What are your songs about? What are some themes you like to come around to?
That one in particular. Well, actually, I work at the Gene Autry Museum, and I teach kids about the history of the Gold Rush. That's like, it's just what I do.
Awesome.
And that song is kind of like Gold Rushy themed, but it's kind of, you know, also about a bunch of kids moving out to Los Angeles because, man, Los Angeles is the place. It's just like the modern day Gold Rush.
Yeah, the Gold Rush is still going on.
Yeah, everybody wants to like get a piece of the action, and so
they want to be a famous musician or an actor or something. They come out to LA where all the jobs are.
Yeah, and go home piss broke. Just like everybody, all the miners did, and that's kind of. Well, I mean, that's not like a theme in all of our songs. We're not like the Gold Rush band. you call us the Prospectors.
But
Prospectors is my favorite place to play.
Do you guys come back to like similar themes though in your music, or is every song completely fresh and different?
No, definitely. There's a line going through most of our stuff about being poor, and you know, poor and okay with it, because we're all pretty poor.
So it's sort of the theme of just trying to keep your head above water.
But have fun while you're doing it. It's like, yeah, it's kind of an adventure being broke and having people that you care for be broke too, but you're all kind of like in it together. And I don't know. I like that. It's kind of life affirming to realize that everybody else is in a shitty spot too sometimes. So
you guys, you mentioned you like playing at the Prospector.
Yeah.
And, what is it about that you like? Well, what's like the perfect Henry Clay people venue, not necessarily a name of a place, but like the kind of setting, like intimate cafe versus, you know,
bars.
Auditorium, bars.
We definitely like bars with little to no stage. I like to be like,
seriously?
Seriously. When we play places that have like a big stage and like, you know, it's like, oh cool, we have our own sound guy on stage. Wow, that's awesome. But at the same time, like it, you know, having 4 feet of elevation separating you from the person at the bottom doesn't feel right to me, and I like the.
That's why the Prospector, I think, is the best place we play.
So, like, as a live performer, you like being able to communicate with your audience,
yeah,
and be sort of on their level.
That's like the punk rock / indie rock thing, is that there's not a distance between you and the audience. It's like you guys are on any day we could switch guitars, and you guys could come, or you know, the guy in the audience in the front row could play my guitar, and I'll sit and watch him just like he's watching me, you know? And I think that's like, that's an ethic, that's an indie rock thing that I wish, you know, people were excited about. But nowadays it's like, oh, are you playing Wiltern or
the Sunset Strip?
Yeah,
bars. I actually saw a MySpace MySpace requested me the other day. It was boycott the Sunset Strip, and the entire page was devoted to how much the bars on the Sunset Strip suck and how nobody should do pay for play and no one should ever play at those places, and it was full of like all these horror stories of bands who like played and got ripped off for whatever reason, stuff like that.
Yeah, I hate the Sunset Strip. I hate it. I hate Hollywood venues, actually. Other than Safari Sands was pretty cool.
Yeah, Safari Sands was cool.
Even though that's like 20-foot high stage. But
yeah, that stage is huge. But it basically sounds like you guys like a place where you can, you know, be on the same level as the audience.
But at the same time, we're not going to, like, if we got offered to play at the World Turn, I'm sure we'd be like, oh, totally. So
well, let's hope they're not listening.
Yeah.
World Turn.
Back.
What's like along these lines, like how do you guys gauge like what a great Henry Clay people performance is?
Level of intoxication, I'd say.
Yeah.
Like
Or versus a bad one? Like, is it about connecting with the audience, or is it just about not fucking up the songs? Or?
No, I mean, fucking up the songs is inevitable. but it's about, you know, when the audience is into it and they're dancing. Lately, we've had people actually start, you know, dancing a bit at our shows. That's awesome. We love that. And so I guess we've been gauging our, like, success that night on, like, how many people were seem to have a good time. I like the idea of going to a show and people, like, instead of sitting around with their arms crossed, like, judging the band, like, letting their hair down a bit.
Which tends to be what I do, actually. So I feel
right, that's the traditional indie fan pose, the arms like, crossed and the head bob. Yeah. And, you know, if you're really into it, you might sway back and forth.
Or you, like, tap your toe. Really.
You might wait for a song to end before you go get a refill on your beer.
Yeah, exactly. So, I don't know. Rock and roll, and people should, like, let loose a little bit, and so.
So just seeing that you're, like, moving, you know, having an impact on the audience, that's worth it for you guys.
Totally.
Cool. Let's listen to another track from this CD. You want to just pick a random number, or?
it's off.
Maybe 4 or 5 or something like that. 4, 5, or 6.
Something between 1 and 11.
Excellent. You're listening to Is Good on killradio.org. More Henry Clay people when we come back. The Henry Clay people on Is Good on killradio.org. You guys have a show tonight, yes?
Yes.
I'll let you do the talking. I've been talking too much. You talk.
Okay. At Pershing Square. It's Spaceland on Ice. Assuming it doesn't rain. I don't know if it I don't know if it's going to be canceled if it rains or not. But
so that's actually outdoors in an ice rink?
Yeah. I've never been. Joey went the other week to see it, so you explain this one.
All right, jerk. That's pretty much it.
That's pretty much it.
Yeah.
Do you guys like to book like a lot of shows in advance and play as much as you can, or do you try to spread it out so you can do the promo thing a little easier?
Promo?
What's that?
What is that?
How promo como? Yeah. You know, it's a big challenge. You're trying to get your friends out to a show, and if you're playing every week, that can be a pain. But also, you don't want to drag the same friends every month either.
That's something we've been dealing with for a while. We you know, we're kind of new to LA, I guess. You know, we've grown up in the periphery, mm-hmm. but I moved to Glendale September last year, and from that point, we've been playing like, I think we played like 80 shows this year.
What? This year alone, you played 80 shows.
Yeah. Between.
That's not touring either. That's like, Long Beach, Orange County, San Diego, and here. So.
And wow. One show in Fresno with Rademacher.
Oh, yes. Rademacher.
Yeah, and we played in Santa Barbara a couple of times. Well, yeah, it's pretty much within like
Southern California.
A 200 mile radius.
So it's like every couple of days you guys are playing.
We usually average about, I would say, 6 shows. I can't do math, but whatever it is.
So sometimes, some months are busier than others. Like this month has been pretty hectic. Like I'd say three shows a week for the past 3 weeks.
Wow.
And we had a residency at the Detroit Bar in Orange County, and then we played like once a week at some other place.
So if you guys go like more than a week without a show, do you feel like something is off? Like,
well, yeah,
wrong?
We actually, it sucks. It's kind of like, I feel like my life is incomplete. November, we had one LA show and one Long Beach show in November, and it was just,
that wasn't enough.
It felt like we were just like, oh, what's going on? Why isn't the band playing? I felt like there was something missing.
Interesting.
But I mean, we actually don't have a practice space anymore. So in a lot of ways, practicing or playing live is
our
practice
too.
And I don't know. I love playing. You know, you're right. Your same handful of friends aren't going to come out to every show. But in my opinion, like, I'm not playing for my friends. I'm playing for like the other people that, you know, might be at the bar that night, mm-hmm. or might not be at the bar.
And have you seen that kind of evolve over time as you guys have gotten, you know, into the scene? Have you seen more people coming back to your shows and?
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's not like the floodgates have opened or anything, but there's a handful of people that, you know, have been pretty good and come back, and, you know, people that, whether it was their band that we played with or whether they heard about us on MySpace or something,
right.
But there's, I feel pretty good about it.
Well, on that note about playing with other bands, I think you guys would officially complete the Central Second Collective mission that I've been on of getting to know all the bands involved in that. Like, you know, I was chatting with the Happy Hollows the other day, and we were talking about how when you don't have other bands out there supporting you, you just feel like you're just falling in hyperspace, you know. Nothing makes any sense. It's really important to have other musicians out there that support your work, and so there's this growing trend of like indie collectives popping up.
I mean, it was cool. Like, right, like I said, you know, moving out here, it was like the first thing I did was go to a couple shows, and I met Rob from Death to Honors, and he mm-hmm. was a super nice guy. And like, you know, when we started playing, we were kind of this band, like, what are we doing in this big city? And then the collective people, they were really cool. They like latched on, they came out to their shows, were really supportive. And so like, you know, you can't find that support just anywhere. And it was really, you know, helpful in getting us going and getting us confident in playing live.
Touching.
So touching.
It's a touching story.
We need,
it
like,
is.
Background, like, violin. Yeah.
It's violins coming in. Yeah. Like, well great. You guys ready for another live song?
No.
Yeah. What?
No.
What's that?
That's the shortest song I've ever had on the show.
It was done.
Well,
right.
Done.
All right. We're going to play a song. I want to preface. No, I can't play that song. Dude, my voice is gone. All right,
go ahead. Tell me how bad it's going to be, and then go and do a good job.
It's going to be awful. We're going to kill it, man. Let's kill it. We're going to play a song that is about my dog. The song has never found its way to any kind of recording, so I figured
probably never
well.
Will either. Except for this.
Except for this one. In perpetuity. Whenever you're ready.
I'll wait.
Edna was a... Wait, hold on. Edna was a bad dog. Wait, hold on. All right. Edna was a bad dog. She had these special crooked feet. And then one day she ran away down a very busy street. She was going, she's going out to find some things, and I'm not sure what they were, but I'm pretty sure. Oh, we tried to cry so you would see. We're not so bad, but you still can't run free. It felt just like we were told. Oh, we caught her. We made sure that she felt nice. We made damn sure she realized it's okay if things aren't right. I will buy you chocolates if you're a sucker for the sweets. You felt your face against the wind, Edna, my little doggy. Man, I'm pretty sure. Oh, we tried to cry so you would see. Oh, but we're so cold-hearted. That's winging it for you.
All right. You're listening to Is Good on killradio.org. My guests are the Henry Clay people. So what do you guys think about the future of the Henry Clay people? Which sort of direction you want to go into? Releasing more albums? Just continuing to play live? What do you think?
We've probably got about, I'd say, two more albums this year in 2008. We got this one, then we're going to go back and record some more early on in the year. So I'd say we'll release two albums in 2008. That's my goal.
That's your goal. What about higher aspirations? Like, how do you know when Henry Clay people has quote unquote made it? When you've arrived, what's enough for you guys?
I'm totally happy right now. I was talking to my dad. I had a little father son chat a couple days ago, and I said I'm as happy as I've ever been in my life. I, you know, we're playing shows, getting out. I've met some really cool people, and if we could keep this level and, you know, grow gradually from here, that's cool. If it starts to dip down and go the other way, that's fine too. I have backups. Go get a real job doing something. But I'm totally happy. If we could get bigger, more people latch on to it without us having to sacrifice any of our I don't know what to call it. Integrity.
Yeah, that's the word. Integrity.
Integrity.
Yeah. Dignity. That's what do you think that means, by the way? Like, that's a pretty big
integrity
deal. Well, in terms of the integrity of a band, like, what would be an example of having lost that? Because I know a lot of bands, when they become successful, clearly lose their integrity. Yeah. But it's kind of hard to articulate what it is that happens. Is it just that they start following trends or copying other bands? Or I don't know. What do you think?
I mean, I hate to say it, but I almost think it's, like, impossible not to lose your integrity. I think, like, when you become famous for whatever reason, or whatever, when you're a success, a breakthrough success, and you have a gigantic audience, you know, that's awesome. But at the same time, you've lost something there. No matter what, no matter how, you know, down to earth you are, there's still something that's going to be harder for you to connect with, you know, the dude that is just excited to pay, you know, $10 for your CD.
Right.
Because you're, like, money's not an issue anymore.
And
like,
you're up on that pedestal.
Yeah, yeah, and that's, you know, sometimes I get on my friend Matt is really into, like, you know, singing the blues, and I'm like, you know, there's only a certain amount of pathos that you can have when you sing the blues compared to the guy that is, like, living the blues.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the same thing could be said for, like, crossover bands who, like, these indie bands that, like, make it to the mainstream. You know, being I feel like we're just like, this is a lesson on how I feel indie rock is.
It's fascinating. I want to please continue.
But when you make that leap over to the, you know, the other side, no matter what, there's something that is just going to be different. And I don't know if it's better or worse, but you know, like a band like the Arcade Fire, their last record, it came out of this band erupted from nowhere, right?
Right.
And then they did well. That record's great. It's exciting. It's vital. And their new record, which I think is really good, and I totally like it, but man, it's like they went from a band that's just like an indie band who made this great, passionate record to this band that's making like the most important record of their of the history of rock and roll.
You know? Right. And so, their intentions are different. You can hear it in the music.
Well, yeah, the scope of things changes, and like, you know, it's just kind of an interesting sociological phenomenon to see that happen.
Well, I think what must happen with a lot of bands too is they find out when they became successful, like what it is in their songs that people really were drawn to, and then they just take that and try to inject it into every song they do.
Yeah,
and so they just end up kind of doing caricatures of themselves instead of writing new material.
Yeah, that's the best way to say it. Much more articulate than I but yes.
Let's listen to another track from this CD, because how many tracks are on here?
It's 11.
Sweet.
And actually, there's 10. One is a two-parter. So
yeah, hope you don't get that
one of the songs we recorded all in one take, and we did it back to back. Like so they haven't been split up on the CD. So if you get that one, I'm gonna have to stop you after the first one, or we're gonna listen to a 7-minute song.
Okay, I'm gonna. Oh wait, no, I can see that's a 7-minute song right there. Let's pick a good one. Let's see. These songs are actually pretty short. Did we play track 6? I don't even remember.
No,
how long is it? I can tell you how long. What
it's
it is.
3 minutes and 30 seconds. Go I think we did play track 6.
You did?
Yeah, I have that track 6 feeling. Let's play track 10. You're listening to Is Good on killradio.org.
Track 10 is the one. Was the first one we played acoustic. Probably not that one.
You know what?
Maybe 8. I think 8. Number, track 8 might be.
One of the 2 minute ones.
All right, here you go. These are the Henry Clay people. Oh, hey, by the way, do you guys just use the MySpace, or you'd have like a website, or what's up with that?
Right now we're just using the MySpace, so that's the best way. But we love talking to people, so if anybody wants to talk to us, we love talking to them.
So use MySpace and verbal communication for promotion. Sounds good. MySpace.com/ the Henry Clay people. This is what they sound like. Stick around.
There were trees, there were falling in the streets. We saw your daughter, she was getting taller now, wasn't she? In the backyards, all the people got caught in their fences. All those wrought iron maiden men would jam until 11. And then, oh, the neighbors made them stop. Yes, or they would call the cops. Cause they play too loud, and you can't do that, not in this town. We hit the cul-de-sac and we felt like we were coming back. And we were so, 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 so comfortable. We were living in our living rooms. Yeah, we were sleeping in the afternoon. And when the school got out, we had nothing to talk about. So we packed all the ration packs of childhood snacks. And you kneel before you ate, but just for today. Just for today.
That was an awesome ending. That was so cool. What's that song called?
Oh, we don't have names for a lot of.
Do you guys
songs.
Wait till the last minute to do things like name
actually
the songs?
I have my friend. We have a third party who's like gonna listen to our CD and come up with song titles. No joke. What?
Who?
Matt. Oh. Well, he's not really a third party. He plays keys for us sometimes.
Played keys on that song.
Yeah, he played keys on that.
And he's in a rad band called The Natural Disasters, so you should check them out.
Want to play Natural
I've heard them.
Song?
We've played them on the submission show. What
play a natural disaster song.
We can play a natural disaster song.
You're going to play a song from another local indie band?
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Once you're ready. Once you're ready.
I was just about to ask you about like sequencing. You guys spend a lot of time sort of figuring out the order of songs, that, like creating an album. It's kind of a lost art form now.
Yeah, I think that. I mean, I'm.
Sorry. I just got a text from Noah, our bass player. Said, sounds good, but no more bluesy Edna. The Edna was the last song that we played. So, Noah, you got it.
Oh, yeah. I think we put that song back to its grave. So yeah. May it rest. Wait, what's I saying?
We were talking about piecing an album together. Yeah.
It's kind of like, you know, in the high fidelity kind of making that mixtape, and you want to start it off with a zinger. Yeah, I'm really into that. And we have bloody band fights about what the track order is going to be.
Really?
Yeah. But, it's, you know, it's fun. And it's like, those are things that are, it's fun to fight about rather than like, you know, I hate you.
As long as you don't leave any scars or bruises. Yeah. So you're not one of those bands that's like always on the verge of breaking up, huh? You guys have been sort of a cohesive unit for a while.
There was one time when we were at band practice. This is before Noah was in the band. When Joey just, we were trying to learn a new song with it. There's two other guys in the band too. Joey just got so pissed off. We were practicing in our drummer's garage. He just put his stuff down, walked down the street, and said, you know, I'm done with this. And he ended up just walking like all the way down the street. And that we thought the band was over at that point. This was about 3 years ago, I think.
I don't remember that.
Oh, I remember this very clearly. I was like,
it's a very cinematic.
I had a lot of fun with this band, and then it's over.
Oh, that's sad.
Don't ever do that to him again.
Yeah. It was Andrew, the bassist.
That's why we have Noah, our new replacement. He's good like that.
Cool.
I know you're listening, Noah. I love you.
So you're going to play a Natural Disasters song?
Yeah, this is the song. I don't know the lyrics terribly well, so I'm going to butcher them.
Awesome.
Again, another disclaimer. No, we shouldn't play that one.
Come on.
I can't hit that high. The sun is the sun is going down and the wind is kicking up. I try to tell you something important, but your cell phone's breaking up. You forgot all the words to this song. That you said was your favorite song. Keep singing, keep getting it all wrong. I hate hanging out, saying goodbyes hard enough when you only have to do it once. The things I thought I knew, it turns out everybody knows. Still living off memories, still wearing 1990s clothes. I once was buzzed, but cause drugs suck you in. Oh, you need to get fucked up just to feel like myself again. I hate hanging up, saying goodbyes hard enough when you only have to do it once. This car, this time we took it too far. There ain't no such thing as going too far when you're already gone. And there ain't no other road except for the road that you're on. Just give me something true, just give me something new, just give me anything, cause when I get older, I guess, well, the older I get, it feels like the dumber I am.
There's a really good version of that song on Natural Disasters' little CD and MySpace page. So,
all right, so everybody should swing by where tonight for your
Pershing
on ice
Square,
show?
4th and Olive, I think, right? Pershing Square?
Yeah.
Yes.
4th and Olive.
And for ice skating and all that good stuff.
Yeah.
And it's early, too. And it's free in all ages.
What time is the show?
Starts at 8. We go on at 9. It's only two bands. Cool. First band at 8. It's free, all ages.
And you get ice skate and you know.
That's right by the subway, too.
And all the indie rockers love wearing scarves, so tonight's the night, right?
Tonight's the night to wear your scarf. You've been waiting to wear. Awesome, guys. Well, thanks for coming in
and being on.
Is good.
Fantastic guy.
And, keep us up to date. Let us know when the album is ready and so I can start playing it and all that good stuff.
Excellent.
And should we sign off with one more track from here and get another one of these two-minute songs?
Because I feel like I want to play Noah's song. It's only like 3 minutes, I think. Try track 8, maybe.
I think, didn't we just play track 8?
Did we?
Yeah, no. I think we did, yeah.
Oh,
that's 2 minutes and 16 seconds. Track 7, 2 minutes and 6 seconds. We no. didn't play track 7. No?
It's not that one.
Maybe 9? How long is 9?
9 was the 7-minute song.
Oh, no, not that one.
10?
And then 10 was 4 minutes.
No. So track 5? Have you played track 5 yet?
I don't know. Let's find out.
This was Noah's song. Noah's good.
All right. You've been listening to Is Good.
Noah is
on
good.
On KillRadio.org.
On John is good.
Doing nothing but paying our rent. Taking all the holes in our lives and filling them with cement. Post office packages.
We opened up the cages.
We're stacked on the floor.
We let the fools go.
We sold all of our shit off so we could buy more. One day your conscience will ring as clear as a bell. You said you're living. Well, if that's a living, I can't really tell. And the post office packages were strewn on the floor.
We let the fools out.
We sold all of our shit off so we could buy more. Sold our hearts out to the working souls of our folks. It was unavoidable. We held out as long as we could. Even with this glass in our boots, we still got something to say. Fixing up a dent, but the post office packages were stacked on the floor.
We let the fools out.
We sold all of our shit off so we could buy more. And we sold our hearts out.
You've been listening to Is Good on KillRadio.org. My guests are the Henry Clay People, myspace.com/TheHenryClayPeople. This will be available for download and podcast by this time tomorrow. Just drop by myspace.com/thisisgood and isgoodmusic.com to get this and all the other interviews from the past couple of years.